Our scripture comes to us this day from James, chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. Hear now the word of the Lord. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. The word of God for us, the people of God. Today we continue our sermon series, James, Biblical Wisdom for Holy Living. We began last week recognizing that this is the brother of Jesus who's writing to a series of churches who were scattered throughout the known world at that time. He was probably in the early 60s. And so there's persecution that's happening in these churches. And so unsurprisingly, James opens up his letter talking about the trials of life. He talked about how trials can lead to perseverance, and then perseverance can help us become a mature and complete person. Today we continue on looking at his call to wisdom. It's interesting as we learn about biblical wisdom. Biblical wisdom is not an ivory tower philosophical speculation about the world. No, biblical wisdom is really digging in to understanding how to live righteously, in right relationship with God and one another, in a world and circumstances that oftentimes are challenging and difficult. How can we live well when life gets tough? Biblical wisdom begins to help us understand the choices and the path that we need to follow. Of course, as we think about this gaining of wisdom, now how do we receive biblical wisdom? And James would say it's not so much where we go, but to whom we go that we get wisdom. We go to God, the giver of all good things, and as we hear in Scripture today, a generous giver of wisdom, a God who desires good things for each one of us. And so he gives good things to you and me. Now, as we think about how do we get this wisdom from God, I'm going to be the first person to admit that to this day, I have yet to receive an email in the morning from God that says, here are the challenges of the day. You just need to do this and this and this, and you're going to be okay. I look forward to that email, but I haven't gotten it yet. Instead, as we think about biblical wisdom and where do we get biblical wisdom and how do we receive wisdom from God, one of the first places we do is, as our scripture this morning said, is ask in prayer. To give all things in prayer over to God and to seek God's wisdom in prayer each day. To ask of God, out of all the things that are happening, how can I learn out of this? It's interesting as I read the tradition of the church, some of the saints of the church. Some of them were very busy people. They had a lot going on. And oftentimes they would say, there is so much going on, I need to stop and pray more. Because they knew that the more and more things on their plate, the more they needed God's wisdom to guide their steps and their words and their actions. They needed God more than ever in their life. And so as we seek to learn the wisdom of God, we start with that relationship with God that we have, that he calls us into. The second place, of course, is Scripture. Scripture, the Word of God, is a great place to know God's wisdom. And the whole Scripture can teach us the wisdom of God. But there are also passages and places in Scripture, like the Proverbs, that are filled with wisdom, that as we learn them and study them and allow them to do their work in our heart and in our life, we can grow and become more wise. Of course, as we're growing, as we're becoming, and as we're testing and figuring and trying to understand, Sometimes we're going to continue to have questions about this way or that. We want to bounce things around and off one another. And that's part of the goal, the purpose of the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, to have godly friends that we can say to one another, you know, I've been encountering this, I've been praying to God, and I think God is telling me that I should do this. And hopefully if we have a few godly friends in our life who are willing to tell us the truth, either they can say, that sounds right, or they can say, maybe not that way. You know, and then we have to go back. We have to start thinking about it more. Was this really the word of God speaking to me, or was this the pepperoni pizza I had last night? And so, you know, the body of Christ can help us begin to discern with one another as we're seeking to know what is the wisdom of God that leads to life. And then, of course, one of the passages in Scripture, in Proverbs especially, it talks about experience. It says, you know, the more gray hairs you get on your head, it's possible the more wise we become. Because experience itself can teach us. As long as we take our experiences, the good ones and the bad ones, and we bring them before God, and we ask God to teach us through the things that we experience, God can teach us, God can help us learn and grow and understand the practical ways of living righteously and holy, especially in times of difficulty and challenge. Of course, the challenge is in Scripture is that there's no place where it's a guarantee that the more gray hairs I get on my head, somehow the wiser I become. Scripture also teaches that at times that we can go through life, we can learn all sorts of experiences, but the wisdom we gain is not godly, but worldly. And worldly wisdom does not lead to a mature and complete and whole person. Worldly wisdom oftentimes tears down instead. And so Scripture leaves us with these two paths to take, the path of wisdom and the path of foolishness. And they lead to very different places in life, which I don't know about you, but that raises a little bit of the bar for me of wondering, okay, if it's that important, how do I know whether or not the wisdom that I am seeking and following is really the godly wisdom God wants me to have? I mean, if there could possibly be just a checklist, wouldn't that be great? You know, just a checklist, you open up the pen and you sit there and you go through the paper and say, okay, this means that this is really godly wisdom. Now, the great thing about James, one of the reasons why I love James, is he's a checklist kind of guy. He actually has a checklist to help us discern whether or not the path we're going down is really godly wisdom. It's found in chapter 3, verse 17 of the book, or of the letter of James. So we're going to jump ahead just a little bit this morning. And this is what he writes. He says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And I'd like to leave this up here for just a few minutes here as we think about what it is that James is saying. So the wisdom that comes from God is first of all pure because God himself is pure. And so the wisdom that truly comes from God is the wisdom that's going to shape and form us to be a people who have a pure heart, a pure desire, a pure intention. If it is truly godly wisdom, then our heart should become more and more a reflection of the character of God's in all that we do, in all that we desire. And then it says, peace-loving. Peace-loving. James is going to write about peace a number of times throughout his letter. Peace is very important. And when we drill down and get very specific and practical, to be a people who follow after Christ, to be a people who have our hearts filled with the passion of God, to be a people who seek to be able to share God's light and love in the world means that at times we are going to be a people in conflict. So how can we work together in positive, healthy ways that build up the body of Christ and build up peacefulness rather than tear it down? And that's what James desires for us. If we're seeking after godly wisdom, if it really is the wisdom of God's Spirit working and moving in our life, then really we should be able to develop the healthy kinds of relationships that are able to not only have good days, but to maintain a healthy relationship in the difficult, challenging days. To be a people who literally are peace-loving. So that's one of the key pieces. And then considerate. I love this word, considerate. We are called to be considerate because this flows right out of peace-loving. If we're really going to be a peaceful people, if we really are going to be a passionate people who can actually work together and resolve our conflicts in healthy ways, then one of the things we're going to have to do is be considerate of one another. To recognize realistically that if I only listen to the people in my life who think just like me, that I'm never really going to expand and grow as a person. To this day, I have never met a wise person who does not listen well. Rather, wise people are those who are considerate. They're people who can hear from those who have different opinions than themselves. And in fact, in the body of Christ, as we are shaped and formed by Scripture, one of the things we read in Scripture time and time again is God uses some of the most unusual people to speak His word through. And so what happens is we ourselves need to become a people who can listen well and hear the wisdom God speaking through others, especially the wisdom that challenges us. And all the while, as we are growing and seeking this wisdom, we need to continually submit our life and our heart and our will and our love to the Lord. Time and time again, if we are going to follow the path of biblical wisdom, it says in the Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. So as we're growing in biblical wisdom, if our heart isn't fully submitted to God, if we're following a path that leads us away from a life fully submitted to God, then we know that the wisdom that we're following is not from heaven. Full of mercy and good fruit. We know that God is full of mercy. Time and time again from the earliest books of the Bible, God is a merciful God. And God desires for us to be a people who are not judgmental and casting people aside, but a people who are filled with God's mercy, who have the Spirit of God moving in our life. You know, the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the Galatians, he said, this is what happens when the Spirit of God is working in your life. You're going to have in your life love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And so as we're following after godly wisdom, if we're seeking godly wisdom and trying to test, is what going on in my life, is it really wisdom that comes from God? Are these fruits becoming more and more apparent in my life? And then, of course, impartial and sincere. God loves all people. Are we treating people differently, or are we treating one another as God treats us? Are we just prejudging someone before we even say hello? Or are we open to welcome them in Christ's love? And then sincere. You see what you get. Sincere. An open heart, you recognize an authentic life. Because when we seek after God's wisdom, God will transform us from the inside out so that truly who we are is who we are inside our home and out in public. We are who we are at church, in the sanctuary, and then in our car when we're leaving the parking lot. We are who we are at all times and places. It's interesting, as I've read through this James, I find James challenging, to be perfectly honest, to say, wow, that's the checklist right there for whether or not I am growing in wisdom. That is a challenging checklist. But then I'm reminded it probably wouldn't be biblical if it wasn't challenging. Because God's always going to challenge us to move forward deeper into His grace, deeper into His love, deeper into His wisdom, that we may have the life that He created us for. Of course, this isn't all that James says there in chapter 1, verse 5. He doesn't just talk about the life of faith and say, ask for that wisdom. He goes on into verse 6. Now, verse 6 in chapter 1 is actually one of the more well-known passages. You may have read this someplace. People pull this one verse out. Sometimes people will talk about it. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. And if you go on to the very next part of that sentence, it says, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And sometimes people will take that one verse and they pull it out. And they say, look, you need to believe. You better not doubt, because you know what kind of person they are. And sometimes we read this and we miss the context of it. We pull out verse 6 and we don't read it in light of verse 5. What James is talking about is wisdom. God deeply desires for us to have his wisdom. And we need only ask and he will give generously. But what happens if we seek after God's wisdom one day and then we don't the next day? Well, what happens is if we keep going on because we become a wave of the sea blown this way and that way, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, and here's why. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Can you imagine for a moment someone who is, they're receiving God's wisdom, but they only follow God Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, they go the complete opposite direction, and then Sunday, it really depends on the pastor's sermon. Can you imagine trying to be in a relationship with a person like that, that goes back and forth, back and forth? Such a person would be, in Scripture, double-minded. And James is going to come back to the double-minded person, the person who seeks after God at one moment, but then walks away and goes the complete opposite direction the next. And such a person we find to be unstable. Ultimately, God will give us the stability. Ultimately, in Christ, we have the solid rock and foundation. But we need to continue consistently, day after day, following in that wisdom that God provides, seeking each and every day to learn from God, from the good and the bad, all the wisdom that God would have us know, listening to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, digging into Scripture time and again, and giving every day in prayer to God. Because God desires for you to be a complete and whole person, grounded in his love, renewed by his grace, and knowing the power of his salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful, amazing gift of your wisdom that you so deeply desire for us to have, that you generously give to all who ask. And so, Lord, may we ask this day. May we be filled with your wisdom, renewed by your love. May we be touched by your Spirit, that we may truly walk in the ways that lead to life. Lord, close the doors that need to be closed, open the doors that need to be open, that we may grow in you. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.